The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale. This is Red Eye Radio.
Thank you and welcome back to the live Red Eye Radio show. This is special coverage. We've been doing this for 4 days now. Special coverage on Florence and over the weekend live coverage. And that means that you can call us up. The number is 1-866-90-RED-EYE or 1-866-907-3339. And we've got a caller on the line. I want to go to Mark. Mark is in Palm Beach, Florida. Well, Mark.
Good evening.
Good evening. The storm didn't get down to you yet. And it won't,
yes,
of course.
Thank you. We don't need it. We had Irma last fall. We don't need anything else. We're covered for a while. Believe me, I spent all the time in Miami many years and experienced Andrew back in 92. So I think I've sort of had enough of all that for a lifetime, but you never know what's coming next. My reason for calling you was, I don't know if anybody's called in this morning, tonight, whatever, I'm thinking about the wild horses out on the outer banks there, Ocracoke and those other outer banks. I'm wondering if anybody's reported anything about them. I know they're really, really tough, but I don't know that they've gone through something like this before.
Well, actually, we have an answer for you on this. Knowing that this was your question, we started doing a little bit of homework here, and meteorologist Steve Lenore has the latest on the horses out there. And thank you for bringing this up. This is a soft spot for me. Those horses and the wild Mustangs out in Nevada, if I ever had a place, I would be adopting one of those little puppies.
Just wish we had that Rolling Stones song running in the background, Wild Horses.
Wild horses.
Well, I gave you the information on this. So the good news is that they're fine. WAVY-TV, which is out of southeastern Virginia, also covers the Outer Banks. They reported that they received information from the Cape Hatteras National Seashore that all the ponies on Ocracoke Island and also the ones that are located on another island 100 miles north of there are fine. These are wild colonial Mustangs that have been around a long time there. The Spaniards left them there many centuries ago. But they apparently have survived the hurricane intact. And one of the big reasons for that, A, they're tough as heck. And B, the center of the storm and most of the bad wind went south of there. So never got that bad at Cape Hatteras. I think I saw a top wind gust of about 60 miles an hour, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It really was a little bit light in Cape Hatteras. And so, Mark, let me ask you this. What do you do in Florida?
Broadcasting.
I had an idea. Yeah, that you had one of those voices of clarity, and so let me tell you, have you been up to visit those horses?
No, I never have. My father is actually originally from Wilmington, North Carolina, and I've spent very little time up there many years ago as a kid and so forth, but really never get up that way very much. And I know we get to Charleston once in a while. We like to go there and Savannah and so forth, but Wilmington we haven't been to in a long time, and I've never been on the Outer Banks. I have had a couple of employees years ago from Ocracoke, and I got to tell you something, they were some of the strangest cats I had ever met.
Yes, you realize that the folks in Ocracoke pride themselves on being as tough as the horses in the neighborhood.
Isn't that where that place is?
Yes, it is.
About?
Yeah, I was
certain establishment there.
Yeah, there's an establishment there. They call it a restaurant or a cafe, but it's actually it's a bar cafe.
And slash.
Yeah, they
bar slash cafe.
Bar stash cafe. Yep, I got those words all right.
It's interesting. I know. I guess it was yesterday or Friday. I was emailing a friend of mine here locally, texting him back and forth, and I said I'm stuck on my roof here in Wilmington and down to two beers in my cooler. I need to be rescued to take him to 7-Eleven really quick. But they are a different bunch. I mean, this country is so big. We have so many different cultures among us when you even stay with Native Americans. I mean, it's just crazy all over. But people are different all over this country. It makes it marvelous. And And I think the people on those Outer Banks and people like that up in Virginia and so forth and all the way up the line, they're just, you know, coastal people are much different than inland people I've found over the years. And coastal people, of course, have to live with things that inland people don't, and vice versa. I mean, you know, you look at Tornado Alley, for example. Boy, I'm glad I don't live there. You know, here in Florida and elsewhere where we have hurricanes, we at least get days of warning. And that really, that ought to help us. Anybody with any sense takes those warnings seriously, and it really should be helpful to people. Tornadoes come up instantly, and you don't have very far to go. You can't run very far. But here, you know, we're very lucky because of today with what you guys do with forecasting hurricanes for us. And it's better than ever before, better than I was a kid growing up in the 60s and stuff. And we're grateful for what you guys do, I'll tell you that.
Well, we all are very thankful to NASA and satellites. That's the biggest change, I think, that we've had in a long time.
And the computer modeling has gotten so much better because of high-speed computers. Stuff that was impossible to do 30 years ago is now routine now. Mm-hmm. These seven-day forecasts now were virtually impossible 30 years ago, and when they were possible, they weren't very good.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate the call, and I'm glad that we were able to help you out. Jim is in North Kingston, Rhode Island, and you want the status of New Bern, I think.
Yeah, how you doing there?
We're doing good. How about you?
I got some relatives and family in New Bern, and it has been, they were telling me it's been a constant rain since when this started, Thursday or whatever.
Yes.
They got something like 25 inches. It's just constant rain, they're saying. That's something they've never seen probably since the biblical. Who knows? They got 2 feet of water in their house.
Right.
They're 40 miles from the ocean. It's just the constant raining. Still raining. But I mean, coming down in sheets. They just said they've never seen anything like it in their life.
Yeah, I understand that they're building an ark right now, actually. And they're going to launch it and head out the Neuse River back out into Pimlico.
Yeah.
And
but it's constantly raining, and it's just never, it's still raining.
Yeah, these are the feeder bands, and we call this training. That's where they come in the middle part of the United States where there's big thunderstorms and stuff. They come in lines, and they're straight lines. But when you're looking at a radar and you've got a tropical circulation, they come in kind of rotating bands, but they're still the same thing. They train over the same track. So it's one train car after another just pounding them. But they had another problem, and that was winds on Thursday blowing in, raising the water level.
Yeah, basically.
My uncle went down to the river, and because with the width of the, at the end in New Bern, the river ends like in a really small, whatever you call it, like a dead end. There's a river, and it just ends into like a, and they just, the water just built up from the wind, and it's just going to be bad, man.
Well, in fact, if you want to keep listening to us too, because coming up, we're going to have Lieutenant David Daniels, and he is with the New Bern, North Carolina Police Department. He's going to give us a status report coming up shortly in the next half hour. So, you know, we've got that base covered, and everybody wants to know what's going on there.
They did have over 400 rescues in the city of New Bern.
That one thing, when you mentioned about those bands, those feeder bands, I looked them up on the radar in New Bern, and you're right. Those feeder bands looks like they just never moved for like 3 days, or they're still there. You know, mm-hmm. The same feeder constantly, and it's not that wide. It's just a long feeder band, and it just was dumping like Niagara Falls dumping in New Bern.
Well,
constantly.
And this water has to seek its own level. So if it rains heavy in one particular area, then it's going to obviously spread out into the land nearby, and it's going to find its way down to the nearest rivers. And those rivers, in almost every single case, are full, and they're on their way to record-setting river heights.
Well, one bit of good news.
They have a sewer. There's the sewer plant over there. It's underwater right now for, you know, whatever, from what he was saying. I mean, things ain't looking good, man.
No, and in fact, we'll be talking with Kim McLeod coming up in South Carolina, And also, we'll be talking, I believe, with Pam Walker coming up next. And one of the questions that we have for Pam is, what about the large areas where there are hog farms where there's flooding going on? And you know, what's this water quality going to be when we get done? Is there going to be a source for good drinking water?
And Sam's choice.
Yes.
There's going to be some bottled water going on, I think, for a while, Tom.
Yeah, without a doubt. Hey, Jim, thank you very much for giving us a call. And you're listening to Red Eye Radio. We want you to give us a call. The number is 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED-EYE. And this is meteorologist Tom Hale and Steve Lenore on Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
I am looking at some of the heavy rain coming in through Topsail and so forth. Accumulations in the last 6 hours, over 13 inches of rain just north of Wilmington and Burga, which is up on 117, just between Wilmington and up north where it kind of merges into and parallels 40. We've got rainfall amounts that are even higher than that. And at the present time, there appears to be some high water rescues going on in Wilmington.
Well, Tom, also, we also have now a flash flood emergency for the area just north of there, just east of Fayetteville in Sampson County. National Weather Service says it's a flash flood emergency. It's a higher level of alert than a flash flood warning. They say any travel on I-40 or I-95 in eastern North Carolina is strongly discouraged. We're trying to find out more about the flash flooding in Wilmington, but they've had 4 inches of rain in Wilmington in the last 3 hours. So there is no doubt significant flooding taking place there with roads likely to be underwater, and I would strongly discourage any travel in the Wilmington area until this rain ends. And looking at the radar, Tom, we have a big rain band feeding right into Wilmington back toward Fayetteville, and it's just running over that same severely flood-prone area we've seen. Also into parts of northernmost South Carolina, some pretty heavy rain there, just right around Florence and Conway, which may also cause some flooding. And South Carolina hasn't seen much out of this really overall, but there's a very heavy feeder band developing just north of Florence there along the border that may cause some pretty heavy rain and some flooding issues there. But, yeah, it's bad from Wilmington all the way up to Fayetteville and east of there. Just about everything is stay off the roads.
Pam Walker, you're with us right now. Pam Walker is with the North Carolina State Emergency Response Team. Pam, help us out here with this flooding emergency.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what can I tell you? It's a mess. It's just wet everywhere, and the rain just keeps coming. What else can I say?
Well, I know that the Weather Service, when they put out a flash flood warning, that's a standard terminology. But when they add in flash flood warning
emergency,
that is an additional term, which within the meteorological industry means this is a very exceptional situation, and life is imperative that people don't go out here in this situation because it's very life threatening. The same thing when we have a major tornado on the ground, it becomes often a tornado emergency, and so
right. We've got search and rescue crews out. They've been working throughout the night, and they've been conducting hundreds of rescues. And it's really sad when you hear about the cases where someone was found, or needed to be rescued from their vehicles, and you're just like, please, if you don't have to be out, don't be out in this mess.
Pam, can you tell me then, based on what you just said, it sounds like some of these rescues are being caused by folks that have gotten in their car to drive somewhere. Is that the majority of the rescues, or are you talking also people trapped in their homes by floodwaters like we saw in New Bern? What are these rescues we're talking about right now mostly consisting of?
It's a little bit of both. We're hearing about rescues happening in both vehicles, and you know, people just getting trapped in areas where the water just came up so quickly that they couldn't do anything to get out. So it's a little bit of both, and we're also having to seeing instances where people are having to be evacuated to shelters and just moved out. Some there was one instance earlier this evening where some people had to be woken up at the home where they were staying and say we need to move you to shelter. It's a tough situation.
Well, the National Weather Service out of Raleigh is reporting in Sampson County there multiple high water rescues here in the last hour or two, and that's where that flash flood emergency was posted. They're saying the rain is still falling, still at 2 inches per hour, and that's just east of Fayetteville for our listeners that aren't familiar with that area. That's just, this whole thing is just unbelievable. And that does bring up one more question that Tom had for you. We had a caller from New Bern, from Rhode Island, I'm sorry, that has family in New Bern. And he said that their water treatment plant was underwater. So that brings about some concerns there. Where are folks going to get their water? I mean, is there a program in place to truck in bottled water? And how long does it take for a water plant to be rebooted, so to speak?
Well, we are getting all types of requests for bottled water. We fill requests, especially at the shelters, and we will have drop-off sites where we'll work with a nonprofit to get necessities to people in need. The types of things that we're being asked for are food, tarps, water, ice, baby formula, diapers, blankets, cleaning kits, those types of things.
Where would be the best? What would be the best way for someone who wanted to help? I assume you don't want them coming down there with a truckload of water. It's just more traffic. But what should they do if they want to help from Texas or Minnesota or California?
Well, if it's a business that's looking to donate water or something like that, we do have a business part of our EOC that will take donations and that type of thing. If it's an individual, we encourage you to actually just give money, because the thing that happens sometimes is people being good-natured and wanting to do something nice inadvertently end up putting us in a situation where we have to actually, you know, sort and use resources to sort everything that's brought in. So the best thing to do is to donate to Florence Recovery. They can text Florence to 20222. That's 20222. And that's the state's, the governor's North Carolina Disaster Relief Fund.
Okay, that is great information. Give that to me one more time, please.
That's Florence 2-0-2-2-2-2.
Okay.
That's four twos.
Right.
2-0, then 2-2-2-2.
Well, 2-0, and then 2-2-2.
Okay, so four total, three together. I got you. Okay.
And Pam, in the last minute here, let me focus on two roads, 40 and 95. Is the one of the greatest problems where these two roads come together?
It's actually 40 is more east of that going towards the coast.
Right.
And then 95, we have problem areas that are in and around the Fayetteville and just north of Fayetteville, and then also south going towards Lumberton.
Okay. And so in this situation, just completely stay off those roads, assuming that you don't have to. And even if you have to, I'm assuming that the trucking companies are not sending trucks up and down through this particular route at this time.
I certainly hope not. I mean, I think you all had said earlier, if you look at the drivenc.gov site, that gives you information about the roadways in North Carolina. But if you go to that page tonight, you'll see where they basically say you really need to stay off the roads in North Carolina.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much, Pam. Coming up, we've got Lieutenant David Daniels, New Bern, North Carolina. You're going to want to be here for this. Don't go away. This is meteorologist Tom Hale, Steve Lenore, and you're listening to Red Eye Radio.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
Along with meteorologist Steve Lenore, we are covering this storm for you. Continuous coverage. This is our fourth night of overnight coverage. In fact, as far as I know, there is no radio network in the country that is providing this kind of service for folks who are basically in the dark. And I say that literally because of the hundreds of thousands of people who do not have any electricity right now, but may have the ability to stream us by going to Red Eye Radio Show, redeyeradioshow.com, and click the Listen Live button. And this is someone who we've talked to earlier and definitely want to be listening to, Lieutenant David Daniels. You're with us, and he is with the New Bern, North Carolina Police Department. Everybody wants to know about New Bern. This is kind of a sad way to put you guys on the map, but tell me, what is the latest in your town?
Well, we have, we're trying to make headway in getting our electricity back up and running. Search and rescue teams are making sure that we get all our wellness checks done for the homes that have been flooded, and moving forward, trying to get planning done for cleanup in the coming days ahead. Just getting a good plan in place.
Well, let me walk our listeners through this over the last 4 days. I think this would be Thursday night into Friday, I was noting that we were looking at the storm coming ashore. We were also looking at that point, tremendously strong hurricane force winds pushing up the Neuse River. And a caller that we had was describing the Neuse River as kind of like a dead end for that river. Really, it's kind of where the head of the river expands out into the waterway. But when you've got winds blowing at 60 and 70 miles an hour plus upriver, we displaced a lot of water, and so it started to rise. At that point, what was the first things that you were starting to do?
Well, we started days ahead of the storm, making sure that there was a plan in place and that personnel were prepared for the rising waters. We knew it was going to be coming. Started making arrangements for our staff to be on duty and have the equipment that they would need. We also started informing the public that the waters were coming.
And what was the top rise that you had? I think it was at least over 9. Did it make it over that?
Yeah, it did. We saw I think it was 10-2 was the highest point.
Okay. And now, help me out here. How high, because obviously the homes are not all at sea level, but in what neighborhoods did you find the highest level? And the neighborhoods are important because we've got listeners out there who have family and friends, and they would kind of like to know, you know, in what part, what third of your town was hit the hardest?
Sure. Well, we had water in several communities. The downtown historic district had water. The Duffyfield community, the Woodrow community in Sunnyside, the water was widespread. So we had a lot of our neighborhoods and communities were affected.
And I don't think that that viewers that maybe or listeners have been our listeners are, I'm sure, aware of this, but it started off and you started going out and doing rescues, and in your first hour or two, how many rescues do you think you did?
The first hour or two, I'm not sure exactly. The first night we did about 350.
350. Now that's 350 people or families or homes or.
That's 350 people.
Okay. And then the second night, amazingly so, it seemed to continue.
It did. I think by Friday lunchtime, we had moved about 500 people.
Wow, that's just incredible.
So, Lieutenant, during that time, It's our understanding, and you can confirm this or not, that there have been no lives lost in New Bern. Is that correct?
So far, we've been very fortunate that we have not lost any lives, nor have we had any serious injuries.
Now, speaking of that, I'm sure some folks have required, they've had medical needs, maybe elderly folks, people on certain kinds of medication and things like that. How did your hospital fare there? Did it escape the flooding?
It did. There were some heavy rains, but the hospital was fortunate enough not to have any flooding problems that I know of.
That's fantastic news. It really is. And y'all haven't had much good news there, I don't think, lately.
Well, and this time of inundation, I'm going to use the term inundation because there's really, in this kind of event, there's the wind-driven rain, the ocean rain or the coastal water rain, and then there's obvious water, and then there's obviously the rain that you associated with flash flooding. This wasn't as much a flash flooding event, but it was an inundation event where the water just continually starts to rise and get higher and higher. Is that correct?
Sure. A lot of what we had seen Thursday night and Friday was that wind-driven rain from the storm blowing the water from the ocean up the river and just bringing it into us. What we're dealing with now is the rains from the rivers coming
back the other way.
Back the other way, yes, sir.
Yeah, and of course, you haven't had really as much high water rescues as you've had, flash flooding type rescues, as you've had just simply high water and going into these locations. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but you had a little bit of help?
We did. We had, at our peak, we had five different professional teams here, equaling 185 personnel from search and rescue teams. But we also had volunteer organizational groups like the Cajun Navy and just some Good Samaritans who were coming out offering their assistance and helping get these folks to safety.
Well, now, it's still raining where you're at right now, isn't it?
It is.
I'm looking at a band that seems to be coming right on in through your area. And
yep.
So, Steve, did you have a rainfall total for them?
We don't actually have a precise total for New Bern, but we know it's in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 inches based on surrounding reports like Jacksonville.
Okay. All right. And we don't have any gauges in that particular area, do we?
There's not a... The Neuse River is flooding upstream very bad. Lieutenant, have you been given any information, either you or your emergency management office from the National Weather Service, about whether or not this river is going to go back up? Have you guys survived the worst of it, or is there more coming in the form of runoff?
Well, we expect to still have some more rising waters from the river. Fortunately for us, the Neuse is at a wide point where we're at, so though we expect it to come up, we hope that it'll go back down just as quickly.
So perhaps the worst is over as far as the high water goes for you?
We believe so and are certainly praying for the same.
Absolutely. Same here, sir.
Well, I appreciate your time, and please, you guys, we have you in our thoughts and our prayers, and I can tell you that the nation does as well. Hey, thank you very much, Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Hopefully you guys will eventually get some time that you'll be able to get some rest and some much-needed sleep.
We are looking forward to that time.
I bet you are. We have flash flood warnings in effect right now that extend to cities like Lumberton, Masonboro, Wilmington. There is water running over the road on 95, and there are high water rescues from some of the people that have been stopped and gotten out of their cars with this water running over the roads. And also I-40 is supposed to be, and obviously many parts of that are impassable. And so, Steve?
Well, this all goes back to the points that have been made earlier by both the North Carolina Emergency Management folks, National Weather Service, and the North Carolina Department of Transportation. What are you doing out driving, people? Unless it's an emergency, stay where you are. This is how people get in trouble. I'm not going to get off on a rant too much, but a lot of these rescues were unnecessary because people drove into floodwaters. And I'm terribly sorry if that was your situation, and I'm glad you're okay after being rescued. But you created a situation by not taking good advice that has been hammered home for days by experts in meteorology, emergency management, transportation. Don't go anywhere unless it's an absolute emergency. And even then, you're better off calling for help. Let them come to you. That's my sermon, the end.
Thank you very much. I echo that sentiment. Just be safe about this. All of the, a lot of the death, in fact, flooding and that kind of a death going in and drowning, it's avoidable. You don't have to go out. And although it is amazingly the number one killer in these kind of events.
I think a lot of times it boils down to sightseeing. Hey, let's go out and see how high the water is at XYZ. How about watch the news? They probably have a better video than you're going to get anyway. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously, folks, this is not a sightseeing opportunity. This is a tragedy and it's a disaster. And let's all get through it best we can. And that way we'll be safe.
There you go. Meteorologist Steve Lenore and myself, Tom Hale, and you're listening to Red Eye Radio. We're going to be talking to you shortly about how to donate. This is Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
And the peaceful music is brought to you by Running Waters.
Smooth jazz.
Only kidding you, folks. The running waters are not good right now across the state of Carolina, north or south. With roads that are impassable, you should be staying off of them. And the latest update advisory from the Hurricane Center is now out. It is official that Florence is no longer a tropical storm.
Yay.
It is a, tropical depression, which still doesn't sound any more pleasant than tropical storm. 35-mile-an-hour winds. It broke down past that barrier of 39 miles an hour, and it is moving to the west now at 8 miles an hour. It is 20 miles to the southwest of Columbia, and that's the center of it. Obviously, the north side, which takes you up toward Raleigh and everything, is going to be the areas which are personally getting a lot of the rain. But one of the things that we had talked about earlier, and we had that conversation with Pam Walker, is ways to donate. But, you know, there's a lot of things out there that, let's just say some people take advantage of situations just like this.
In the aftermath of any disaster, people want to help. But federal watchdogs say you need to give some thought to how and where you're donating, because scammers are eager to cash in on your generous impulses. The best way to avoid supporting cheats instead of people in need is to donate to charities you already know and trust, or do some homework. Avoid what seems to have sprung up overnight. Be skeptical about social media campaigns. And if you're using a text to donate, look up the number on the charity's website first. I'm Jan Johnson.
Thank you, Westwood One News. And so here's the short and sweet of it. Steve, you were talking with Pam Walker, and she had suggested some things about where to donate specifically for North Carolina.
That's right. In fact, the bottom line was the best way to donate is to give money, because of the logistics of bringing things in, creating traffic jams, and just kind of plugging up the works if you physically come here. So here's a way to verify safely donate to North Carolina. The governor's office has activated the North Carolina Disaster Relief Fund, which has been used in previous disasters to accept donations to support North Carolina's response to Hurricane Florence. So to donate, you can visit governor.nc.gov, or on your cell phone, text the word Florence to 20222. Now, when you do that, what will happen is you'll get a confirmation. Are you sure you want to do this? You click yes, and it'll ask you how much. That'll be put on your mobile phone bill. That's how you pay for it. So you can text the word Florence to 20222. That's very important, because this same code is used by lots of organizations like the American Cancer Society. So to make sure this donation goes to the Florence cause, text Tom the word Florence to 20222.
You can also donate to the Red Cross for Hurricane Florence. Just visit redcross.org, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can also text the word Florence for the Red Cross. It is 90999. To make a $10 donation, it'll be charged to your phone bill. And coming up within the next hour, we're going to have Brian Hayes, the National Weather Service, Raleigh, with an update on what's going on. And Raleigh is in the heart of all that action. Kim McLeod is a spokesperson with the South Carolina Emergency Management. And we will have a report from our Westwood One news correspondent, Clayton Neville. He is in Myrtle Beach. So we've got a lot of things coming up here shortly. And so I don't want you to go away. I actually want you to pick up the phone and give us a call during this last half hour that we've got here. Call 866-90-RED-EYE. That's 866-90-RED-EYE, especially if you're in the Carolinas. Tell us about your current situation. You're listening to meteorologist Tom Hale. That's me. And meteorologist Steve Lenore.
That's me.
On Red Eye Radio.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, meteorologist Tom Hale, this is Red Eye Radio.
And I am here with meteorologist Steve Lenore.
Hello.
And also Brian Hayes, National Weather Service in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, Brian, are you just starting your day or ending your day?
I am about a couple hours ending my day here.
How soon do you get to go home? Are you like many of the offices, sleeping with a cot?
I do. I am fortunate enough to get to go home, so that'll probably be around 8 a.m. ish for me.
Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Let me start off by just asking you, what is the most pressing warning that you have going on in your area right now? I see a flash flood warning, but I think that's I'm looking at storm reports you guys just pushed out here. Airport road closed with water flowing over the road. Now, are we talking about the airport right there in Moore County?
Yeah, I believe so, Stephen. I think, you know, you're talking about the most pressing warning. That is actually a flash flood emergency we have out for Sampson County right now. And I want to make sure to give all of your listeners definitely to make them aware of that. We actually had four water rescues overnight in Sampson County near Clinton and Turkey and Sampson County again. And that is a particularly dangerous situation down in Sampson County right now. People need to be aware that flash flooding is occurring and
We talked.
Take action.
Yeah, we're obviously being meteorologists and issuing and doing our part on the broadcast side. When we see you guys add emergency to that, that's obviously to get our attention to make sure that we get everybody else's attention. So when it came across that it was a flash flood emergency, we haven't seen a flash flood emergency in a while. So we were concerned about that. And they're still getting rain right now there.
Correct. Yeah, they're still getting rain down there, and I-40 also runs through that area. So that's quite concerning. It's a rural area on I-40 down there, and it's been raining pretty hard down there for the last couple hours. And to put in perspective, in the past 3 hours across the southern part of Sampson County, we're getting rainfall estimates of 3 to 4 inches down there, on top of storm total estimates already in the far southern part of Sampson County here now of upward of almost 20 to 25 inches in some places. So that's a big concern down
okay.
there for sure.
And what about 95?
Yeah, so 95 remains closed, and that is just south of Rocky Mount, I believe, all the way just to the northeast of Fayetteville.
So,
and that is a concern, obviously, as well.
Brian, this is Steve. I had a question. We spoke with some of the South Carolina emergency management officials about an hour ago, and I asked them, well, how do you notify the public that it's okay to come back? So my question for you, I know that every state does it different. I know that you probably coordinate with the emergency management and share information about when it's safe to come back. Is that how that works? And if so, then how do you guys announce the all clear?
Yeah, so it's definitely a group effort, right? So, I mean, for example, the flash flood emergency that we put out this morning, that's because we're in direct contact with Sampson County Emergency Management. And they've done a fantastic job of staying in contact with us. They have an emergency operations center going 24/7 down there right now, so we're in direct contact with them. So normally the process, that obviously runs through the county officials, and when we get word, we start relaying messages as well through our products, if you will. So, for example, in the flash flood emergency, I put the high water rescue that was relayed to us in the emergency. And likewise, you know, as this transitions and the heavier rain moves west, we transition our warnings over to more of the flooding is still occurring, but it's slowly receding type messaging stance. And once roads reopen, we also try to put that in our warnings as well. So I highly encourage people to keep an active lookout through our warnings and through the emergency management community. As you know, we try to have a really unified message and approach to everyone.
Sure. Looking forward, though, a couple of days when the rain quits finally and the water's running off, is there an announcement, like, statewide, okay, evacuees, you can return now? How is that handled so someone that's in Tennessee waiting to come home knows it's safe to do that?
Yeah, so I believe that's done by the state. So, and obviously we'll relay information as we see fit.
Okay.
Some of the towns in Sampson, in that area, can you name those for because we've got listeners across the country and they, you know, they have family in that area, but they may only recognize it by the name of the towns.
Sure. So Clinton and Turkey in Sampson County have been the areas primarily hit extra hard this evening. And if you go south towards Ivanhoe as well, that area has been hit hard as well, and to Harrells and Garland.
Okay, and so that's basically down 421 coming out of Clinton and toward Harrells. And then, of course, Clinton and Turkey, are both of those are on 24, that basically runs between 95 and 40. And so...
Correct, and we have been advised that driving on Interstate 40 east of 95 is not advised at this point.
So for folks that aren't aware, that it kind of comes together, when you look at your road maps, it comes together as a triangle up near Benson where the two of them cross each other.
Right.
But
exactly.
Then it spreads out, and anywhere in between that, let's call it the triangle there, between Benson, back down to Lumberton, and back the other direction as it goes down to Magnolia and so forth, that area is really in the area that the... How many, four rescues, you say?
Yeah, so we have four rescues last time I checked earlier this morning. Four water rescues already overnight this morning, so...
And, Brian, this is Steve. I just wanted to give the listeners a little background. Clinton is a town of about 9,000 people, so it's a nice little-sized community there. I'm really kind of surprised, honestly, that a fairly small population like that would be able to have their own emergency management bunch. That's really great that they are able to do that. I know a lot of smaller communities where we live just don't have the resources for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice. So it's the county officials. What they do is they group together and open what's called an emergency operations center. They have multiple people volunteering and helping. And, for example, they might have a fire chief, a police captain come in and help. So it's really nice to see the community as a whole, all levels, local, state, federal, coming together here.
Absolutely.
And so if there were another area that we talked about Fayetteville and so forth, areas to the north of 40, over near Smithfield and Goldsboro and back over by LaGrange, they were, at least, if not tonight, I know not tonight, but last night, they were right under the main bands.
Correct. So, you know, anywhere really from the Benson, like you said, the Goldsboro, going on over west, back west, to Lillington, Seminole, that entire area has been hit extremely, particularly hard, as you guys mentioned. And I think today that focus is really going to turn more towards the southwestern counties, towards Scotland, Anson, Richmond, Montgomery. We're watching a pretty good band of precipitation getting going in Marlboro across in South Carolina. And that's expected to focus more towards the southwestern part of North Carolina today.
Yeah, I see that right there around, is that Wadesboro? And moving up here north of Florence.
Yeah.
On the border there.
They have pretty good cooling cloud tops on IR as well. So, unfortunately, it looks like more heavy rain expected.
And just to give our listeners a little background on that, when we have, ladies and gentlemen, cooling cloud tops on the IR, that means the thunderstorm updrafts are getting stronger, and that's a visible indication from our satellite. Not a visible satellite, but a visual clue that those storms are intensifying, and that's not good news. That means heavier rain.
That's it. Correct. Yeah.
And so, again, let me take it back to the social side of that. is your staff wearing down?
We're doing pretty well. You know, what we really tried to do here is strategically plan. You know, it sounds like we've been talking about Florence for a while. And one thing we've been able to do because of that is strategically staff people to where you get a rotation of people through, if that makes sense. So it's not the same person, the same people day after day. So we're able to really, really kind of help each other out, if you will, and stay fresh. So we're doing pretty well, and we're just hoping this event comes in for everybody here.
Brian, I had just one more question. This is Steve, if I could. Are there any lessons learned in your office or in the weather service there from this event, or do you feel like everything is just fantastic? And I'm not looking for trouble here, so that came out kind of bad. But, I mean, are there any lessons learned from the storm itself, the event, and what's transpiring now?
Sure. So, I mean, there's always lessons to be learned from the event. You know, there's always things that we can glean from the event, so I'm not going to say you know, it was fantastic, because, you know, we always want to get better. We always strive to do the best. That's what we're here to do, and we're here to protect the people of North Carolina and our CWA. And, you know, we always are looking at ways to get better. And in particular, what happens for events like this is, you know, individually we obviously are taking notes, but then what happens after the event is we usually do a post-mortem, if you will, and go back through the event and really take a fine tooth comb and take a look at what we can continue to improve upon. And I think, you know, most of the time what we look at the science aspect side of things, and we also look at public response and messaging. So those are all things that we're going to really look at after the event. You know, right now it's hard to say during the event, but I guarantee you what we do after every event is go back and look at the science, the social, and how we communicate.
Well, you can relax, because I honestly think that everybody from your office and the interviews you've given us and the information you put out there, we've been monitoring on social media, and the Hurricane Center and the Wilmington office, everybody we've talked to in South Carolina as well, y'all have just been top shelf. So from one meteorologist to another, hats off to you from Steve Lenore, and I think I can speak for Tom too.
Oh, without a doubt. Brian, thank you very much. We really appreciate this. And we're going to be coming up shortly with Kim McLeod. We're going to give, obviously, equal time to South Carolina. Don't want to be accused of not doing that. She's with the Emergency Management Department, and they have their finger on the numbers of what's been going on, how things have been changing. And, of course, you don't want to go away. You want to pick up your phone and give us a call. We've got a few calls waiting, but they're not that many. And so we're looking at 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get you on fast. And hopefully, if you got something that you need us to help us to do as it relates to this storm, we'll be on top of that as well. I'm meteorologist Tom Hale along with Steve Lenore, and you are listening to Red Eye Radio.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
We are back on Red Eye Radio. We thank you for your calls, and also we'll try to get to a few. Here we have Kim McLeod again. Kim, she is with the, good morning, South Carolina Emergency Management. And Kim, I've got a burning question that I've had all night long. I just haven't had a chance to ask you about it. are there any hog farmers in your neck of the woods?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. We had heard that there were some hog farms and in areas that were flooding, and obviously, you know, those areas, they also have a lot of hog manure and everything else like that. And so
Yeah, little retention ponds. I know this is a bigger problem in North Carolina during Hurricane Floyd. And so after that, they tried to tighten things up so that the runoff wouldn't cause all that yucky stuff. But apparently it's still an issue and there's a lot of flooding.
Well, we're fortunate right now. We're really not experiencing a lot of flooding. So, you know, that's really probably something that North Carolina is experiencing more than we are at this time.
But we are seeing some heavy rain developing right along the border there. I would say it's probably around Conway back to the south of Wadesboro, North Carolina. In that area north of Florence, there's some pretty heavy rain that's been evolving there. So that might be an area that would be getting some flooding overnight close to the core of this system, which finally has started to speed up, Thomas, moving all the way up to 8 miles per hour now.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive. That last night, you may be aware of this, Kim. It was moving at 2 miles an hour?
Yes, apparently it's slower than people walk. That's what I was hearing on the Weather Channel.
Well, yeah, and you know what? We were sitting here, and all night long last night, we were looking at it, and it was saying 5 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour, and so forth. And my last guest with the National Weather Hurricane Center, I said, is there some kind of magic limit when it gets below five, you just leave it at five or whatever? and I just simply pointed out that, you know, since we've been talking, I noticed that, you know, in the last 5 hours, it's only gone 10 miles. So simple math. And so they said, yeah, really, it's really only going 2 miles an hour. And since then, the numbers have dropped down considerably. It went right to two. And now we've been slowly crawling our way back up again. Now, what is the biggest issue that you have going on right now?
Your bottle of water is to your left, Tom.
Yeah, I think so.
There we go. God bless you.
Yes. I'll let Steve pick up with that question. What is the biggest issue you have going on right now?
Well, you know, our biggest worry right now is flooding. We don't really know exactly what's going to happen. We know there is a lot of rain, and, of course, the flooding in North Carolina, you know, those waters have to come somewhere. So we are anticipating some flooding, and we hope it's minimal, but we're prepared for the worst if the worst-case scenario happens.
Mm-hmm. It looks like right along the border there where a couple of the rivers drain across into South Carolina is where the concern is, and that is the area around, the Little PD River near Gallivants apparently is a concern, according mm-hmm. to the Army Corps. They got that up into major flood territory. And the Waccamaw River is supposed to tie a record crest at Conway next Thursday. And then you guys have one more, the PD River again. Looks like it's just short of a record crest at, is that Shiraw or Cheraw? How do you say that?
Shiraw.
Okay. Hey, Shiraw, Shiraw. I like that song. I couldn't resist. Yeah. So that's supposed to crest 2 feet short of the record on Thursday. So there is definitely some issues, but I can see on this topography map, all those rivers are coming out of North Carolina and draining into your state. So folks along the northern border, heads up on some flooding for you.
Yeah, and it looks like when I'm looking at where the bands are right now, Gibson, McCool, and Bentonsville, and right up between there, south of what is that, Lunenburg, and in that area coming out of North Carolina into South Carolina, along Highway or State Road 15.
Yeah, it's right on the border there, south of Wadesboro near Lancaster and Bentonsville, I believe that is.
Mm-hmm. Bentonsville, and. Have you had any reports of any need of rescue or anything in that area?
Well, we did have a report earlier for rescue. I don't have the actual details about what, you know, exactly where it was and, you know, how many people needed rescuing. Just was given a preliminary report. So as the day progresses, we'll probably have some more information on that and if any other events like that happened overnight.
Okay. One quick question for you. If people want, and we've got listeners all across the country right now wanting to know what they can do. So is there a way in your state to safely and securely donate to support the folks in South Carolina?
Oh, absolutely. We have the 1SC Fund, and that is on our website at www.scend.org.
And so it's a way that, you know, people can go and, like you said, safely and securely donate. And, you know, that is something that we want to warn people about is charity fraud. You know, make sure that, you know, you're donating to a reputable organization. You know, we don't want you to be taken advantage of, and we want the money that you're willing and able to give to actually go to help people.
Well, and in fact, we promoted the so we want to make sure we get this information down, because we did promote North Carolina's direct donating fund, and through the internet. Again, this is how they do it. Go ahead.
Yes, through our website.
Okay.
That's
and that website is
SCEMD.org.
Aha, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. There we go. All right. Well, hey, Kim, thank you very much. I really appreciate everything. And this is meteorologist Tom Hale.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is meteorologist Tom Hale.
And we are live, and we have been live for 4 days overnight, covering continuous coverage of what was Hurricane Florence, then a tropical storm, and now officially a tropical depression with 35-mile-an-hour winds just under the notch at 39, moving to the west at 8 miles an hour. And I've got Steve Lenore with me as well. And we also have, we have meteorological experts, Buku. And speaking of Buku, we have Steve Raleigh. And Steve is with
great name. I like that name.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, and of course, but he's not with Raleigh. He's with Charleston, South Carolina's National Weather Service forecast office.
Call him Carolina Steve.
There you go.
Good morning.
We can do that.
Good morning. Have you ever been called Carolina Steve?
No, but I've been called Raleigh a lot and had my last name misspelled in various assorted ways. So it's kind of
R-O-W-L-E-Y.
That's it. Absolutely. You hit it the first time. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for coming back on, for sure.
My pleasure.
So, your guys are kind of sitting in the bleachers watching this unfold because you were on the backside of the storm. A better way of explaining it is that the northeast quadrant, really in this case, it was the north quadrant because this storm came in from the west, and so we had like a north and south side of the storm. And so you were on the south side, the dry side, but not far up the road you had rain. From your perspective, what do you see in South Carolina is the biggest issue area? And we've been looking at the rains that are up near Gibson and
Bennettsville,
exactly, and back up near Wallace and so forth, and possibly a little more going to the McCool across the border. I don't think there's any real heavy rain where everyone knows south of the border, but where are the issues that we've got now in South Carolina?
Well, we've been watching social media, and we're getting reports of portions of I-95 may be closed near the North Carolina border. There has been a persistent band of heavy rain up in that area for the past couple of hours. So, you know, the northeast part of South Carolina, and then as you cross over into southeast North Carolina, that seems to be the area that's catching the brunt of the torrential rainfall right now.
I'm looking at the Doppler estimated rainfall from the Wilmington radar site there, Steve, and it's showing over 2 inches per hour right there on top of I-95, just on the South Carolina side of the border. Is that radar giving an accurate estimate there, or do you think that's over?
Well, we've actually got some estimates. I've been watching some of the products that we have available to us. I've seen hourly rainfall rates of 3 to 4 inches per hour.
Oh my!
In some of the heavier bands of thunderstorms. So, you know, we're pretty confident that's in the ballpark of what's actually happening. And sometimes in a fast moving thunderstorm, you may get 3 or 4 inches per hour type rates, but it may only last for, you know, a few minutes. In this case, these types of rainfall rates are sustaining themselves for multiple hours, and that's why we're having so many problems. Again, northeastern South Carolina and southeastern North Carolina.
Yeah, this is really evolving. It almost looks like watching the circulation on radar that a band is trying to form right there, all the way back to the ocean. It just starts right north of Myrtle Beach and runs right up along the border there. That's really bad news for South Carolina to be getting that kind of rain now, on top of all the rain that's coming out of North Carolina into those rivers like the PD and the one I can't pronounce, the Waccamaw.
So Waccamaw, that I think that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So not what y'all want to see, I know. With that, Tom.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's actually, you know, looking at some of the lightning data, you know, we've got this this new GOES East satellite that has a lightning detection system on it, and we've been experimenting. This is all experimental data we're looking at, but it picks up, it picks up lightning in remote areas over the ocean where some of our land-based networks may not be able to detect things quite so well. And actually, there's this band of thunderstorms in one form or another is actually extends all the way south to east of the northeast Florida coast. So that is bad news. If we don't get this band of really intense moisture that's feeding up into especially southeast North Carolina, if we don't get this to break up, we don't get some drier air to break this up, this could go on for many more hours. So this is definitely a really bad situation.
Oh my! Didn't know that. We haven't been looking out that far. We've been kind of concentrating on just north of South Carolina.
And also that GOES 16 lightning field information is not necessarily on a lot of all the sites that are out there.
Yeah, it's an optical detector. It's got an 8-kilometer resolution, but. What Steve just said, over the oceans, which is 70% of the Earth's surface.
Oh, I know.
Land-based systems don't work too good.
I hadn't even thought of that application.
Me either.
And so that's a scary thought, you know, then, Steve, that band does stretch all the way down there. And so, right. and it's, can you, I don't think you can tell any in that lightning field, can you tell any movement in that thing?
Well, we can see the movement. Our radar is actually getting a pretty good look at those thunderstorms all the way down the coast. In fact, even the radar from Jacksonville, Florida, can see the tops of the thunderstorms that are east of the northeast Florida coast. So, you know, and these things are moving along. It seems like things are stationary, but they're stationary with respect to, you know, moving east or moving west.
Right.
But they are moving from north to south pretty steadily. In fact, there's some very strong winds. You know, even though this thing's a tropical depression, there's still some very strong low-level winds, steering winds out over the Atlantic Ocean that are pushing these thunderstorms off toward the north. So things are moving right along. Unfortunately, they're lined up from north to south. So we're getting this super training effect. You've probably heard of, you know, that term of, you know, thunderstorms training over the same area. You got a line of thunderstorms with heavy rain, and they just keep moving over the same area, and that's happening on steroids out there right now.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what you described a second ago, and I was really kind of blown away by that, because we deal with training in the Midwest all the time, especially with quasi-linear events. And so, hey, I want to thank you very much for this update and that new information that we've got, that this may be hanging on this band for quite a long time. Thank you very much, Steve. Steve Raleigh with the South Carolina Charleston National Weather Service Office. I want to go to Alan. He is in Parkton, North Carolina. And Alan, you're talking, and you don't have any electricity down there.
No, we don't have any electricity at all right now.
And you haven't had electricity for what, since Friday?
4:15 Friday.
Down to the minute. Thank you.
So what were you doing when the power went out?
I was texting on my phone. That's why I knew it was 4:15. That's what I was doing.
Uh-huh. Well, at the time that happened, was it? We're getting a little delay there, I think.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was on the phone texting, but you can tell the guy in South Carolina, 45 miles up 95, it's pouring down rain at my house right now.
Okay. That's 45 miles up 95. Okay.
So, Alan, when the power went out, you were texting. Was there like a high wind going on, or was there lightning, or what do you think caused the power to fail?
This has been real weird. There's been no lightning, no thunder, because if I'd have had that, my dog would have went crazy. But the wind and the rain right now, it's raining again. The wind and the rain's what pretty much put ours out on this end of the county.
Okay. And have you got street flooding in your neighborhood right now?
Oh, yes. We have street flooding. This end of the county always seems to flood. The closer you go toward Robinson County, the wetter we get. But we are outskirts of Fayetteville, so we're all flooding through here. It's pretty wet.
Are you on the, you're on the south side of Fayetteville, right?
Right. If you looked at Hope Mills and went south out of Hope Mills.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at right now. Yep, I see it right there. And so you're off of 301 just to the, and 71 just to the west of 95.
Right. I live in the Cumberland County side of the Parkland area. So I'm kind of on the county line going to Parkland. Yeah, it's very wet.
Mm. I wish there was a way for us to be able to tell you that the electricity is going to come on quickly, but we've got so many emergency rescues going on. Hey, Alan, I wish you the very best, and thank you very much for being part of Red Eye Radio. I'm sure people in your area are happy to hear that at least folks like you are surviving, even though you are under the worst possible circumstances at the present time. Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, we appreciate you. Okay, appreciate you being on all night, too. It's nice to listen to you. We're doing fine, but we'll be okay.
Hang in there.
Hey, thank you very much. Coming up, we've got Clayton Neville, Westwood One correspondent, and he is in Myrtle Beach, and he's been up and down the beach lately, and so we're going to get some reports from him firsthand. Coming up just shortly, this is meteorologist Tom Hale, Steve Lenore, and you're listening to Red Eye Radio.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
And we are back on Red Eye Radio. This is meteorologist Tom Hale and meteorologist
Steve Lenore. Howdy.
And we have been here for the last 4 days, overnight, trying to help out as best we possibly can, gather the information, and let you know where things stand and possibly where things are going and where you shouldn't be going. One of the guys who's keeping touch of what's happening in and along Carolina coastline in Myrtle Beach is Westwood One's correspondent, Clayton Neville. Hey, good morning, Clayton.
Guys, good morning.
So, tell me, we noticed that there was a lot more rain on the north side of Myrtle Beach than the south side. Did that ever even itself out?
Well, you know, I am on the south side of Myrtle Beach, and we have had rain consistently for the last 2 days. But I can tell you, for the first time in about 48 hours, it is not raining here right now. In fact, it started to let up around midnight or so here. And as I wake up now, it's not raining either. So maybe that's a sign that it is starting to let up. Although last night, between the hours of probably 6 and midnight, it was coming down really hard. In fact, last night was some of the hardest rain I've seen over the last couple of days.
Well, it appears to be actually starting to get a little bit harder. Steve, we just picked up information from the Charleston office, the Weather Service, and we're looking at a band that is moving its way up. It stretches all the way from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, there's basically these big bands of rain, Clayton, are coming in from the coast. And they just keep redeveloping over the same area. That's why the flooding has been so bad. And one of those may be redeveloping right on top of Myrtle Beach in the next hour or two. But we don't see anything that's imminently super heavy for you right now. A lot of it's feeding up into the same area of Wilmington, Jacksonville, Fayetteville, North Carolina, where they're just getting dumped on there.
Clayton, tell me, what have you noticed from the locals and the people who are living there as it relates to the storm?
Well, they're actually getting a little bit stir-crazy is what it seems like. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who have said, they've been through a bunch of these things before, and they've seen stronger hurricanes and tropical storms before, but they've never had to wait this long. They've never gone through a storm that's moved so slowly before. So I've noticed some frustration. I was out yesterday talking to people who said they were just ready to get back to business. A lot of business owners here in Myrtle Beach, it's hurting them being closed for this long and being uncertain of when it's going to pass. So I think the waiting game is really starting to wear on a lot of people here.
Have they mentioned that their employees, that they're concerned about their employees?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the employees went inland, talked to one business owner who said, you know, he might reopen other than the fact that a lot of his employees are spread out in different places along the Carolinas and they're having trouble getting back. And, you know, because of that, they're not able to work, which means that they're not able to get paid. And so as the days go by, some places now have been closed since early this week. And so now they're dealing with almost a week of not having any business. So, again, it's really starting to wear.
Yeah, I had heard exactly that some of these businesses actually closed almost 3 to 4 days before the storm came in on Tuesday and Wednesday. And so, we're closing in on 7 days of time as we get through this weekend that they haven't been working. And obviously, that's a big economic stress on everything.
Clayton, I have a question for you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say to that same point, I talked to several people who, you know, either evacuated a couple days before this thing actually hit because they thought it may hit a little bit earlier, and they're starting to run low on food. Now, some of the stores in this area have started to reopen, but not many of them, and it's not really easy to get around the area. So I talked to a couple people who were concerned that they were running low on the food that they stocked up on. They've been in hotels now for nearly a week. So, again, it's just the length of time here that's really shocking a lot of people.
Hey, Clayton, thank you very much. Clayton, Westwood One correspondent. By the way, if you want to catch up on any of the information that you may have missed or caught in the middle of, you can go to our podcast at Westwood One and Red Eye Radio. We have that podcast of the last 4 days, so you don't want to miss that. And, again, this is meteorologist Tom Hale.
And Steve Lenore, that's RedEyeRadioShow.com for that podcast.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.